This podcast is not meant to be professional advice of any kind. It is meant to be informative and entertaining. If you make any changes to your life, see the appropriate professional before you do so. What kind of super ager are you? Go to ageist.com/quiz. Take the super ager quiz, and we'll send you directed, personalized information to help you super age the best that you can. Welcome to Super Age. My name is David Stewart. I am the founder of Ageist and your host on the Super Age show. We talk about how to live healthier, how to live longer, and how to be happier. And who doesn't want that? This show is brought to you by Element, L-M-N-T, my favorite electrolyte mix. It's what I put in my water in the morning, and it's what I put in my water at the gym. Go to drinkelement.com/ageist and receive a free 8-serving sample pack with any purchase. Today's show is also brought to you by Our Place. I've just started using some of their pots and pans. Oh my God. Okay, so they're beautiful, and guess what? They don't have any of those nasty chemical coatings on them that are, unfortunately, forever chemicals. I don't want to be eating that stuff. You don't either. Go to fromourplace.com, enter the code AGEIST at checkout, receive 10% off site-wide. Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns. Today's show is also brought to you by Timeline Nutrition with their breakthrough product, MitoPure, the first clinically tested urolithin A supplement, which is showing tremendous results for mitochondrial health. Go to timelinenutrition.com/ageist, use the code AGEIST at checkout, and save 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Welcome to episode 184 of the Super Age podcast. We'll be dropping this on May the 8th, 2024. This week on the show, we've got Nancy Davis. And Nancy Davis is with the Global Wellness Summit and the Global Wellness Institute. She's a wonderful human being. I've known her for a few years now. I spoke at the Global Wellness Summit in Singapore, I want to say in 2019, and it was no joke, life-changing. Really changed a lot of my viewpoints on what wellness was, how wellness can impact our health and life outcomes. And I think as these discussions of medicine and wellness, longevity, all these things are accelerating, they provide a lot of fact-based information, which is free. They do the summit, which if you can go is pretty awesome. And Nancy has some pretty strong opinions on these things. And we're going to have this discussion with her about where wellness is going, sort of what they're about, the whole wellness economy, which is massive, and the benefits of creating this community they've done. So we're going to get with Nancy in just a couple of minutes. Tonight, May the 8th, we're going to do our first Ageist event that we've done in, I don't know, since like 2019. It will be Val Monroe, who writes brilliant Substack called How Not to Fuck Up Your Face. And we profiled Val back about 6 months ago, and I found her to be an incredibly insightful, articulate, really just like a great person to talk with. And she's an enormous reservoir of knowledge about everything to do with faces, beauty, health, all this stuff. So I'm super excited about that, having Val in the house, and hopefully a lot of you folks too. Other than that, we are here in New York City today. It's about 74 and sunny. I feel like it's a weather report, but yeah, whatever. Last night, it was so beautiful. Oh my gosh, it was maybe 68 degrees. And the neighborhood that I live in, they block off a couple of the streets. I think it starts about the beginning of May through maybe the end of October at night from like 4 till midnight or something. It's this like ongoing block party. All right, I'm prejudiced about this, but I think New York is the greatest city in the world. It's amazing. And let me tell you why. The area that I live in is potentially the Lower East Side. They renamed it the Two Bridges, you know, whatever. It's the Far East Side, Canal Street. And there's like a lot of the infrastructure here was built maybe 50, 80 years ago. So what that means is there are all these trees that age. And so there's this huge green canopy everywhere, which I love. There's a park, Seward Park, that I try to go to every day, and I just walk around and I see all the sort of, you know, people playing ping pong, the older Chinese ladies doing Tai Chi. There's quite a presence of older conservative Jewish folks here. There's some temples here, so that's great. There's projects,
I guess this project's like the wrong thing to say. We'll say low-income housing that's been here for quite a while. So it's a super mixed neighborhood, and then you've got all this young people. And what I love about my neighborhood is, from what I can tell, everybody gets along fine. There's no friction that I see whatsoever between all these disparate groups. And last night we went over to this area where the block party thing was going on, and we ate in sort of an outdoor dining thing, which was wonderful. I was probably, I want to say, 40 years older than the median age of the other people having dinner. But I sort of like that too. And then, you know, we're walking home and we see these two New York City police officers with these two horses. And we just go up and just start chatting with them. And the horses' names were, I don't remember their names, Genius and Tommy. Tommy was huge. He was a draft horse. Genius was a retired race horse. I was talking to the two officers and we were just like bantering about why are they there and what's going on and, you know, how's everything working out. And I just thought, where else in the world could this be happening? And it's almost inconceivable to me. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time. I think the police there, they're under a much more strained sort of situation than in New York. Although I've never had a bad interaction with police in Los Angeles. I think they do a fine job. It's just really hard, I think, to be a cop in LA. In New York, it's sort of a different thing. People sort of wear their identity as a loose garment here. It's not a distinct tribal thing, even though they're obviously wearing sort of identifiers of who they are. You will not see a conservative Jewish rabbi dressed the same way as some 22-year-old hipster, but it's like, whatever, everybody just gets over it. So anyway, there's my plug for the greatest city on earth, New York City. We are going to get with Nancy Davis. We're going to talk about global wellness. We're going to talk about the intersection of wellness and medicine in just a moment after a quick word from our sponsors.
One supplement that I take every day is MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition. It contains urolithin A. There's a tremendous amount of science out there about urolithin A, and it's all very positive. Urolithin A helps us with something called mitophagy, which is cleaning out our older, not so functional mitochondria. And at 65, I've built up some dysfunctional mitochondria. Cleans those out, replaces them with new, better functioning mitochondria. What it does is it helps us with all the energy production in our bodies. Our brains, our immune systems, our muscles, all of those include mitochondria. They're the energy powerhouse, and we want to have the best mitochondria we can. This is why I take MitoPure every day, why members of my scientific board take it, why their families take it. It's a great product. If you go to timelinenutrition.com/ageist, use the code ageist at checkout, and you'll save 10% on your first purchase. Today's show is also brought to you by Our Place. They make non-toxic cookware and kitchen appliances. So, true story, I've been trying to cook a lot more, and I can't say I'm a super great cook, but, you know, I do my best. I try and get organic food. I try and eat a sensible diet. But what good is that if I'm cooking on some kind of toxic surface or using an appliance that's made with toxic materials? Check out Our Place. I was really impressed with the quality of the cookware that I received. I love looking at it. And this is a mission-driven company. It's female-founded. It's all about sustainable, non-toxic cookware and kitchen appliances. They are so confident you're going to love their products that they offer a 100-day trial and free shipping and returns. That says something. Find out why Our Place has received over 75,000 five-star reviews on their products. This is a great company. Go to FromOurPlace.com, enter the code AGIST, receive 10% off site-wide. That's FromOurPlace.com. Use the code AGIST for 10% off. After my chat with Nancy Davis, stay tuned for Just Try This. That'll be right after my conversation with Nancy Davis. We're going to talk about global wellness. Let's give Nancy a call right now. Hey, Nancy, how you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a rainy day in New York. You know what happens when the rain falls from the sky? The trees get green.
That's awesome. True. And we like green trees.
I love green trees. I love the canopy. It's so nice. Nancy, where does this podcast find you today?
This podcast finds me in my home office in New York City, the West Side on the river. And I'm very happy to be here.
Lovely. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Global Wellness.
Sure. I am the Chief Creative Officer and Executive Director of both the Global Wellness Summit and the Global Wellness Institute. So we're two sort of sister organizations, and I play a big role in particularly driving the creative that becomes the events, that become the reports, that become all those things.
And having been to some of these, I can say they are awesome. They are vast.
Thank
you.
And
I would not want your job. I would go crazy.
Yeah, we do pack it in. Let me just say that you get your money's worth when you attend our events. We really do try to deliver. And, you know, because everything we do is global, there's that aspect of it too. So people attend from all over the world. People participate from all over the world. It's a lot to manage. You know, it's a lot to orchestrate, but it is really worth it.
For people who don't know, let's separate the two. Explain the difference between the Global Wellness Institute and the Summit.
Summit came first. It was founded, I think, 2007. We're in our 18th year of summits. And so the Summit came first as an annual event. And it really grew out of the spa industry and the fact that there wasn't one global event for the spa industry. There were regional events, but nothing global. So it became Susie Ellis, co-founded it, became an event, started in New York, and then it started to travel all over the world. Because if we were going to be global, we were going to have to go all over the world to make that point. And in 2015, really officially, I mean, we talked about it in 2014, we launched the Nonprofit Institute as a sister organization. We were doing a ton of research in the summit, and it didn't really make sense. And there were task force and initiatives and projects. It didn't make sense to have all of those under the umbrella of an event. So we separated that out. The research now is really a foundational element of the Institute. We give it away for free. We want everybody empowered about and to learn about wellness. So that really separated the organizations. They've both grown a lot. So under the umbrella of the summit, we also do our trends report, which is huge, like best in class trends every year. And we do a lot of other events, the main event being the Global Wellness Summit, which is one annual event in a different part of the world every year.
So I have in my hands here two documents. There's this Future of Wellness 2024, which is...
Yes, the trends, the latest trends report.
I quote from this all the time.
That's great.
I think this is an amazing document, and it's super helpful, forward-looking what's going on.
Yeah. Our trends reports, they're like, you know, deeply researched, almost academic papers. I mean, we go very deep into topics because, you know, we are 100% committed to evidence in this world. You know, this can get fuzzy, the whole wellness world. And so we really try to adhere to some rigorous standards. And it has a lot to do with science and evidence. And I think that distinguishes our trends and a lot of what we do, we talk about. We don't go with the kind of fads. You know, we try to stay true to a kind of integrity about the work.
So let's stay on that theme for a second.
Sure.
You know, one of the things about learning about wellness and all of that, if like on TikTok, you can hurt yourself. And you guys are much more fact-based. So
yes, we're entirely fact-based. I mean, we really care about science. Our research team is just 100% devoted to that. It is in everything we do. We really back up what we do with science.
Realizing that you're not a researcher, but right. Within this last trends report, was there anything that stood out to you as a non-research person? Like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, I think the whole conversation about longevity is really interesting and really important. And I always go back and forth in my kind of reaction to everything in the wellness world. I think I've lived long enough to sort of be able to say, well, that's common sense at the same time as there's something new about it. So I always have that reaction to, well, of course, if you do these things, you may live longer. But then there are all these new developments and new science behind what people are doing in order to improve the quality and length of their lives. And so I think those things always, I wouldn't say surprise me, they're encouraging to me. And it always does make me feel like, you know, some of it is just a natural way to think about things, which I think is really good because I think it's easier to adapt that way. I think if things feel like they are so bizarre and difficult to attain, most people won't do it.
And I agree with you 100%. A lot of it is really like, duh.
Right, right.
This is obvious. The difference now is we have metrics.
Yeah, I mean, we have ways of measuring it. We are using AI in different, you know, there are such good uses for science and technology in all of this now, which I think is what is really exciting and powering it. It's also that this is a big business. You know, this is not, you know, 30 years ago. And I mean, this is a huge business. I mean, our research clocked it at 5.6 trillion right now. You know, this is an enormous economy on its own. And so I think that's where, you know, taking this sort of core, you know, the core values of it and the science of it and the opportunity in it is just enormous.
One of the things that I really enjoy that you guys do is the sense of community.
Yes.
That's something that when I've attended the summits that I really got out of it. Is that, what are your thoughts on that?
It is a powerful, powerful thing. My thoughts on community is that it's the heart and soul of any kind of wellness experience. I mean, I really believe that people want to be together. I think, you know, COVID taught us a lot, and one of those things was that not being together was detrimental, not only to our physical, but more importantly, our mental and emotional health. I think we create community. I think we've built that community over the years. I've seen it grow in so many ways. And, you know, we call it our tribe, but, you know, I think people really want to be together. And I think that is where collaboration is sparked, where this sense of belonging to something bigger than yourself is sparked. It's validating as a person. I think it's at the center of everything. You know, I think that, you know, even, you know, businesses that, you know, try to create virtual community or, you know, Peloton classes or, you know, all of those things, it's all trying to create. This is where I have those moments of like, I think back to my childhood. And I think every, you know, community is trying to create how I grew up, which is, you know, you live near the people you love, you ride your bike to them, you play in the yard, you know, you do the things, you have the activity and the physical proximity. And, you know, sometimes if you can't and you work around the globe, you do it this way. But I think that there's no substitute for gathering, being together. And I think that's something we do really, really well. And I'm really proud of.
Yeah, I agree. What are the sort of things that you're hearing out there? What are the sort of rumblings out there that come across your desk?
Well, I'm not a trend spotter, but I will tell you that a lot of things do come across my desk. And I think that, you know, the conversation about medicine and diagnostics and wellness has really come together in a way in just the years I've been involved. I've been involved over 11 years now in these organizations. And in that time, I think there's been a real shift. Medicine siloed, regulated over here. Wellness not terribly respected by the medical community. Now they're all coming to us. They're all part of every event we do, every project we have. And they have realized that there is a necessary integration of those things. And I think that you're going to see more and more of that. You know, we're having a symposium about wellness real estate. There is a whole movement to bring medical diagnostics and medical services into residential communities, mm-hmm. into corporate, you know, institutions. There's a tremendous blending now, integrating of medicine and wellness that I think is going to be very powerful. I think it is in some ways consumer driven. People demand this. You know, people don't just want, you know, to treat an illness. They want to get ahead of it. Prevention is a huge thing we talk about all the time as a kind of, you know, way to define wellness almost, you know, is that if you get ahead of this, if you take care of yourself, if you do the right things, you may not need that pill or that surgery. And people are realizing that taking walks in nature and, you know, and doctors are prescribing them, you know, they're saying, okay, you can do this, but you also should you might want to do some yoga, you know, you might want to do this and that. And I think that we see more and more of that in a really substantive way. In our summit in 2017, so we held a fun event that was a marriage of wellness and medicine. And we did it as like a wedding, and it was super fun. And, you know, I think then it was like tip of the iceberg, but now it's really integrating.
I want to touch on something I actually read in one of your newsletters in the last day or two. Equinox is now charging $40,000 a year for sort of a wellness longevity program. So we have hospitality, sport, wellness, medicine, longevity. They're trying to put this together. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is how these things start, right? And we get a lot of pushback on the elite nature of some of these offerings, right? So if you've got $40,000 or $50,000 or $75,000, you know, you can get your blood drawn every few months and you can, you know, do all these things and get these diagnostics, track your biomarkers and all these things. I think the ultimate goal is to figure out how to make those things more accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in hotels. It's happening in wellness, you know, sort of clubs and destinations around the world. It's very expensive right now. But, you know, I'm reminded that, you know, it used to be like $2,000 for a flat screen TV and then $99 at Costco now. So, I mean, I think things ultimately trickle down to everybody. They have to start somewhere and they have to get tested out. There are a lot of people doing it. You know, there's a lot of biohacking going on. There's a lot of people talking about how they are, you know, dealing with their own mortality and biology and everything. And it's expensive right now. Equinox is doing it. Fountain Life is an incredible company doing it. You know, there's a lot going on. It's an interesting space.
I was just thinking about this morning and how, I mean, there's certain people in the space, Brian Johnson, who,
yep.
I know Brian. Brian's a lovely guy, very strange fellow, but a lovely guy. You know, Atiyah, Rhonda Patrick, people like that. And there's this interest in this sort of intersection of science, medicine, wellness. The word that comes to my mind is the word agency. I've been reading, sort of off topic here, Fareed Zakaria's book about revolutions and how we're in a moment now where there's a lot of change and it's happening really quickly. And so a lot of us, myself included, we feel somewhat powerless about all this stuff that's going on. Like, how do I keep track of it? And somehow this idea that we can influence our biology gives us a sense of agency.
Yes.
And I think that some of this is, I'll speak for myself, me trying to be more comfortable in the world. Like, well, I can't control what's going on over in this place, but I can control my blood work. That I can do. So do you see this sort of these things coming together?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think people feel more empowered, which is a really good thing. Everybody's got an aura ring on or everybody's doing something. Everybody's like doing, measuring something, you know, all of the phones you carry measure everything you do. I mean, I do think that gives people a sense of control over some of their lives, you know, some parts of their lives at a time when it feels like you can't control most of what's going on in the world. I mean, we always try to be optimistic about things. I do feel generally optimistic about things. And I think it's challenging in this world right now. And also people are really sick of the healthcare system.
Ugh.
I think it's so broken everywhere, you know, and we, again, you know, we're global. So when we're on calls with our board and, you know, they're talking about healthcare in the UK and healthcare in Hong Kong and healthcare in the United States, it's broken everywhere. So I think the more people can grab a piece of that for themselves and manage it and, you know, influence it, the better.
Yes, I agree. When I see my physician once a year, I show up with a stack of documents.
Right.
And then we discuss them about what do we think is going on, and which is a very different thing than maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I would go in. They do a yearly blood test. It was sort of like a pass-fail. It was like,
you're
going to make it another year. Okay.
And it isn't, you know, it's no longer limited to once a year. I mean, you do this all the time.
And, no, I do. You know, I run my blood work poorly.
And you can have virtual, you know, appointments and you can share data. Exactly. And, you know, all of that is happening at a rapid, rapid rate.
I'm going to tell you a story. So my knee, which is like an ongoing drama in my world, stress fracture, and then I've got some arthritis, depending on which doc you speak to, it's either minor or considerable, but it's still swollen up, right? And so we've shot some various things in it. It's better now, but it's still swollen. So the next move is PRP, platelet rich plasma, which is not covered by insurance. And one of the things that I have learned about in talking about agency, so the first thing I've learned is that MRIs are not all the same. They're not like x-rays. So an x-ray is an x-ray. It's a pretty standard thing, been around for 50 years. MRI, yep. Vast difference in who's reading this and what the things are. So I've had many MRIs on my knee recently. I have a physician friend. I said, well, listen, these are different. They're like, oh, you use that machine. Don't use that machine. So how do you know this? So that brought me to my PRP investigation. So here I am in New York, and I go to hospital for special surgery. I say, who's got PRP? And they say, these 30 people. Okay, great. So I start calling them. So the prices vary between $400 a shot, and I think the high was $2,300 a shot. So I'm thinking, why is this? That's funny. So then I start asking them questions. I say, well, what's the platelet concentration? Oh, we don't know. What's the machine you're using? Nobody asked that. Why would you want to know that? You need around 7 billion platelets for this to be effective. How many platelets are you shooting in? Oh, well, we don't know. So I had to...
Yeah, you're like your own physician at that point.
Well, now I've read more PRP papers and I know more about PRP machines definitely than the people that are actually shooting it into my knee, and probably more than the physicians. And the only reason I bring this up is it sort of ties into this sense of agency. I think previously, maybe other people weren't like this, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, a doctor was a doctor. A machine was a machine. But that's the same thing as saying like a car is a car. There's a Hyundai and there's a Porsche. They're both cars. They do different things. And I think that this new world is empowering people like me to understand these things. So then you can go in and say, oh, yeah, you want to do this, but that's not going to work. We're not going to do that.
Have to remember, this is a privileged kind of conversation, right? So you have access to these things. You have access to these doctors. You have all their...
Yeah.
We deal with the whole world. And there are parts of the world where this is not even... in the vernacular, and 100%. It is not available, and it is not something people will have. And so in those places, personal agency that you describe and being able to do something yourself has a particular power.
Yes. What did William Gibson say? The future is here. It's just not equally distributed.
Yeah. I remember an early conversation at one of our roundtables about workplace wellness, you know, what people were doing. And this took place in a beautiful office in New York City. This conversation had great people around the table. And fortunately, one of the people around the table was from the Clinton Global Initiative. And so we were talking about workplace wellness and, you know, all the, you know, biophilia and all these things. And she said, you know, I just have to say that, you know, workplace wellness in parts of, let's say, India just means getting a woman home safely at night. You know, and everybody just sort of stopped and thought, right. You know, we have to be really careful that we're thinking about everyone when we have these conversations and figuring out how to make things available and accessible to everyone to the extent that that's possible. And there are plenty of people working on that, but it's tricky. This is where technology can be really helpful in helping to democratize things, putting it in everybody's hands, you know, but it's just something that we think about a lot.
Give me an example of the technology.
Well, there's all kinds of technology to, let's say, share, almost crowdsource diagnoses. You know, there are ways you can, and there are apps where you can enter what you're going through and what you're, you know, and you find people around the world who've had the same thing, and this is what they are doing for it or who they know. That's a really powerful way for people to access information and share. Again, community, right? This sort of idea of creating a community, all of whom have knee issues and are trying to figure out what to do, and you find out what those things are. I think it's called Alike. It comes out of Israel, and it's a really interesting thing and they're beginning to adopt this in, you know, hospitals and medical centers, because there's a place where that kind of data kind of comes in, and it really is an interesting way to use technology to connect people with like medical issues and see if they can come up with interesting crowdsourced solutions.
Israel has turned into a center of the intersection of technology and health. A lot of tremendous things coming out of there.
Tremendous things. We had our summit there in 2022, and there was a huge amount about the innovations in health and wellness technology. In fact, there's a huge complex being built, like a city within a city. I think it's called Health Tech Valley, in collaboration with Sheba Hospital. And it's amazing. They've got you know, Microsoft, everybody's involved so that, you know, you can use AI to crowdsource all the data and share all the things and collaborate, you know, that it's amazing what's happening there. And that trickles down to all of us. The more innovation, I'm a huge, huge fan of technology, as I also, you know, have like old typewriters, telephones, and I write with a fountain pen, but which I was at an event once and a young millennial sat next to me. I was at, you know, a big event in New York. I can't remember, Skift or something like that. And they had, the person next said to me, may I ask what that is? I was, you know, she was like, had blue light in her face and was taking notes on it. And I said, that's a fountain pen. And she asked to use it, to try it. And I thought, wow, we've come like so far. We need maybe a little swing back. But so I'm a huge fan of what technology can do to like bring people together and create communities where there need to be communities, share information. It's a great tool for collaboration.
What are you seeing out there that the things that we're talking about seem sort of like logical step progression?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're seeing that's sort of like, again, not a researcher, but something that's come across your desk and you've said like, wow, that's not like a linear step. That's something that's like a whole jump. Have you seen anything like that?
Well, I'm going to have to think about that. Nothing strikes me right now as so surprising in that way. I think things are evolving quickly. I love what is happening with music and mental health. Again, instinctively, we know we play music that we like, we feel good. It makes us feel better. It binds us to something. It takes you out of yourself. It's like reading good fiction, you know, all of that. But now it's come to have more meaning in the world. Mm. You know, people are using it to help people who are neurodiverse or who are dealing with Alzheimer's or other issues. So I think those things, maybe they surprise me a little. They thrill me more than anything else. Because I think, you know, I'm a huge fan of arts and culture being central to well-being. And I think we're seeing that the science of that has come forward. And that makes me very, very happy because I feel like it validates everything you feel in your heart and soul. And now there's really good science around it. So yeah, there's a reason you feel the way you do. You walk into a space that has been designed to make you feel a certain way. There's music that, you know, there's meditation, there's all, you know, visual arts and what they do to your brain. And how that can positively impact how you feel in the world. That is powerful, powerful stuff. I went to art school. I, you know, my background is in the arts. So all of this thrills me to no end because it feels like, yeah, that's right. You know, this stuff is important. And, but now being able to understand why is such a key to unlocking this, I think, for people. And it is, that's so accessible to everyone. Everyone listens to music, you know?
And I think this is one of the great things that Global Wellness does. I have to say, I was a skeptic, highly skeptical of, I have an engineering background, but I have come to see the data on that 6 or 7 years ago, if you said to me aromatherapy, I would have just rolled my eyes.
Right.
Or sound therapy, or I tend to think that like my environment, I'm more powerful than my environment. This is not true.
This is not true. And this is why science and research is so important because it isn't just, well, it's my opinion that when I went to the spa, I felt better. You know, it's like, actually there's science around that, serious science around it. And I think, you know, the other thing is it's like a little bit of Back to the Future because a lot of what has come forward are, you know, practices and traditions and things that have been around for centuries, but they're being integrated into a modern world. And I think that is what is so powerful. Yes, you can, you know, you can go back and singing bowls. I remember one of the most powerful things in Singapore were the gong baths. Now
that has been
around.
It's amazing.
Amazing forever. Yeah. But now bringing that to light in this world, in this conversation, in this $5.6 trillion economy, that's a different conversation now about gong baths than it was, you know, years and years and years ago. So I think that, you know, we're able to, in this wide world of wellness that we really, you know, work in, we really try to bring all of that in because all of that is important. The science, the evidence, the medicine, the practices and traditions from all over the world, those things are powerful. They're time-honored, time-tested, and true. And so, you know, it's hard to argue with any of it once it's presented that way. I think, you know, it's not just like a guru on, you know, talking about it somewhere. There's real stuff around it. And that's important.
I'm one of those highly measured people. And I measure my HRV all the time. And so I can tell you its effect. I am N of one. But so much of this I found it works. You know, there's sort of a whole, I call them like the bro heroes of podcasting.
Yeah.
And that stuff's like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, I think a T is best in class.
Yeah.
I think Rhonda Patrick, awesome. But there's something that's missing out of that conversation. And I think a lot of this, and I mean, there are intersections now, like the cold and the heat and stuff like that. But I think some of the more soft, I'll say, methodologies that we're talking about, you know, sound, walking in nature, your environment, this is missing out of that conversation.
Yes.
I think it's incredibly powerful. And it's, and yes, it, as you said, it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is, yeah. And I think, you know, the best is all of it together, right?
Yes, so, exactly.
You know, our upcoming summit, we're going to have Dave Asprey talking about biohacking, but we're also going to have, you know, the Scottish Ballet. You know, I mean, there needs to be those things together.
Yes.
To make the holistic case, because we're whole people. You know, we're not just one thing. We're not just one avenue to something. We're not just one path to one result. There has to be a fullness to this. And I think, you know, you need it all. You know, you need medical science for sure, but you also need nature. You know, you need music, but it's good to know why certain music is good for certain things. You know, it's important to pay attention to, you know, how we can impact the world in a really positive way by bringing all those things together. And I think that's what we do as an organization. We give all of those things voice, literally and figuratively, all the time. And that is, I think, a gift. I mean, I'll tell you that it feels like a gift to me personally to be involved in it. And I hear from people all the time the gift it is for them to experience it. And I think that's where the magic happens, you know?
Human beings, we're naturally tribal. And I think that what's happening here is sort of a Venn diagram of the different tribes coming together, that the sort of soft, fuzzy, but effective is, you know, meeting the medical, the pharmacological, all of these sort of like the hard, what I'll call like the hard interventions are meeting the soft interventions. And I think that, as you said, we are complex entities. We are complex humans. And these things all affect us in different ways.
You know, our trend report that you held up earlier came out, Beth McGroarty, who's the kind of brain trust behind all of that, she talked about hard care and soft care. And that was a really interesting way to put it. I take a little bit issue with the sort of soft, fuzzy characterization now of the wellness world and all of these things. I don't think anymore that they are so soft. I think soft implies that they're not formed fully and they're not, you know, backed by hard evidence and things.
Right.
I think there's some, you know, again, this integration, this blend of things has happened. And I would say there's just as much science around getting a massage as there is about getting an MRI, you know? And I think you have to look at all those things.
You're right. Better use of language.
Yeah. Vocabulary.
I don't like categorizing things. You know, my favorite Nietzsche quote is, the will to systematize indicates a lack of integrity. So I'm going to try and not do that. But I think that the one we're talking about more like ambient. And the other is more, you know, like if I swallow a pharmaceutical, that is not an ambient thing. If I got out of the gym and I force myself to have a VO2 max workout, this is not ambient. This is like very much versus the other. But I think that you are correct. To just to say that the ambient does not have value is incorrect. And as somebody who measures this kind of stuff, I can tell you, on me, N of one, it's very powerful. So, okay. Bonus question, Nancy.
Oh, my goodness. So excited.
How long do you think you're going to live?
Well, both sides of my family God love them. My parents and aunts and uncles, they all lived well into their 90s, healthy as can be, sharp as tacks. So I have to say that I'm banking on genetics here, with a sprinkling of the things I'm learning along the way. I don't really think about it in terms of a number. I really don't. I just think that, you know, going to be just fine for a long time. I have two grandchildren that keep me extremely busy and very happy. And I think that is also a huge thing. Family and, you know, friends, which are the, you know, family you choose, all of that around you, very, very helpful to longevity. I'm less about biohacking than I am just about living a, you know, a good life full of family and fun and love.
I think that you bring up a critical point that I think is missing from so much of the, you know, I don't even like the word biohacking, whatever we call that, is the why.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this? Are you doing this putting numbers up on a board?
Right.
A golf score or something? Like, why?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's your why, okay. But I think that the why is what leads to long-term adherence.
Yeah.
To actually long-term making these improvements. And I think you can make a pretty good case that even if you don't do anything, if you just sort of go on about your life and you don't see doctors and you don't do any of the stuff that you talk about, that why can be super powerful.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter.
There's so much about purpose.
Exactly. Yeah.
Driving people's lives. And I think that, you know, this is a, there's a lot of work being done. And, you know, when people reach a certain age, the age you deal with in all of your work, and people, you know, retire and, you know, sort of leave the thing that had given them purpose and how they decline. You know, there's like all kinds of research.
Super dangerous.
I mean, you know, people, my daughter will sometimes say to me, when are you going to retire? She's in her 40s and has two kids. And I was like, no. It never even occurs to me. This just gets better and better, you know? Yeah. And I think if you love what you do and you, you know, have love in your life and good relationships and things, I mean, the rest is icing. I mean, I think that is like, this is the key, you know? There are people, I mean, you hear really tragic stories all the time about people who ran marathons and triathlons and, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, and then like drop dead at 40. You know, what was missing in the, you know, could be just genetics and bad luck and all kinds of things. But I think there's a lot to be said about the life you lead and the way you lead it as being fundamental to how you look at wellness and well-being and this whole world we're in and this whole industry and everything. It's really so much about that. It's putting boundaries around things and making sure you leave time for, you know, a meal with friends. I am famous here for taking people to the Carlisle for breakfast. This is, I do every meeting that I don't have to do on Zoom. I do in person at a nice restaurant over a meal. I like to break bread with people. I like to talk about things other than work for work meetings. I think it generates a much different result, even though that's not what drives me. What drives me is I just love people and I love connecting with people and knowing about them and meeting them. But it impacts the work so positively that I can tell you that is, you know, it's just an accidental result of a genuine desire to just connect to people. So I think, you know, those things can't be overstated.
At some point, there are all these people who want me to write a book. I don't know. It seems like a bother to me, but I'm probably going to have to. And I'm going to quote that, what you just said. That was really great.
Be my guest and you should write a book. You know, the thing I remember, let me just say that the thing I remember about you is that you spoke at our summit in Singapore. You were absolutely fantastic. And not long before you went on, you said to me, "Where's the teleprompter?" And I said, "Oh,
God. Oh, my God." And I said, "The hell out of me.
We don't use a teleprompter." And you're like, "Okay, excuse me." And you went into a room and you completely rehearsed, memorized. I don't know what you did, but you came out on stage like you never thought there would be a teleprompter and delivered a fantastic talk to great acclaim. And but I remember the, you know, that was the year of the pivot. We were supposed to be in Hong Kong. We ended up in Singapore. You were fantastic. And that was like, that was a moment I thought, wow, that he is good.
Oh my God.
Right?
That moment is seared in my mind.
How bad.
We had just flown. We were in Tokyo and there was a tsunami and we couldn't, everything was closed. We couldn't get out. And we had to spend the night in this whack hotel that is in the Bangkok airport. Like, it's like a shipping containers in the airport there for like a 6 a.m. flight to get to Singapore. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I'll just plug the laptop in. We're good. And then you said no teleprompter. I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You took it really well.
Give me a moment here.
You took it well. You went off. You came back. It was perfect. It was just, it was one of those things. So, you know, absolutely amazing.
It was very kind of you to say. Nancy, if somebody wants to learn about the Global Wellness Institute or wants to attend the awesome yearly Global Wellness Summit, what do they do?
They go to our websites, which I'm sure will be, you know, somewhere they can find globalwellnesssummit.com, globalwellnessinstitute.org. They go to the everything is there. We do a tremendous amount of good communicating with our group. Sign up to receive information. The summit this year is in November 4th through 7th in St. Andrews, Scotland. So we're expecting a large group. It's been a very popular destination to have announced, and lots of people have signed up already. You can download all of our research for free on our Institute website. And that goes back, you know, more than a decade. And, you know, we wrote groundbreaking reports on things like wellness tourism, which we first identified, and wellness real estate, and all of these things. They're all available without cost because the mission of the Institute is empowering wellness worldwide. And we do that by giving everybody all the information we find and all the research that we do. And we'd love to have everybody involved. The summit is a, you know, we say it's invitation only. It's just meant to attract high-level people within an organization because people want to be with their peers. Mm-hmm. And we find that for the summit, we bring together decision makers. And that's it's a very important way that people do business as well as learn and talk about the future. And it's going to be, you know, an amazing summit. It always is an amazing summit, I have to say. They're labors of love.
And they are your labors of love. And
they are. They,
you manifest very well.
Beth, thank you. Me and an incredible team.
My recollection is that on the site, there is a grid of modalities and then sort of the science behind them. If people are interested in this sort of thing, I find that to be a tremendous resource.
Yes. The Institute has a tremendous amount of information. You know, our research first identified and codified and continues to measure the value of the economy. And it's in there are 11 sectors and it's very powerful information. When people pitch ideas to us or, you know, our own research is in their deck, you know, everybody uses it. And the media really, really uses it because the media is always looking for evidence of things and the science of things. And so we really do provide that. We've done that for a long time.
Beautiful. Nancy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Come back and speak at another summit. We love you.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, now I have to talk to your like fancy agents at CAA, but oh well. We knew you when, David.
Thank you so much. And I hope to see you soon. I want that breakfast at the Carlisle.
You got it.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Big thanks to Nancy, who's a very busy person. Why is she so busy? Because she really cares about what they do. And I have to say, having been to a number of global wellness events, it's an A-level presentation. They do a great job, and it's principally because of her. So if you are interested in any of the Global Wellness Summit, Global Wellness Initiative, we'll put those links down below. We're going to get with Just Try This after a quick word from our sponsors. Did you know that just pounding water all day is not going to keep you hydrated? You need the right mix of electrolytes in that water to help that water be absorbed properly and also to help your body function well with the right electrolytes. Element, LMNT, contains sodium, potassium, and magnesium, which are critical for helping our brains and our bodies function. One of the unfortunate facts is as we get older, it's harder to drink water, essentially because our thirst response is diminished. So we need to put extra emphasis on drinking water, staying hydrated with the right electrolytes. Of course, if you are pre-hypertensive or have hypertension, check with your doctor before having anything with sodium in it. For the rest of us, though, Element is a great solution. Go to drinkelement.com. That's drinkelement.com/ageist. Get a free 8-serving sample pack with your first purchase. This week on Just Try This, The word that's on my mind is celebrate. And for those of you who pay attention to social media, I don't pay that close attention to it, but there's been sort of a lot of back and forth about Anne Hathaway. Oh, she looks great for her age. Oh, no normal woman looks like this at that age. This is very divisive, social media. It's either we love people, we hate them. It's very polarizing. And my thought for the day is, first of all, let's celebrate ourselves for who we are. And not only who we are today, but who we were. We were awesome, and we still are awesome. And let's celebrate the fact that, first of all, we're here, okay, and we're doing pretty great. And secondly, I want to take this idea of celebration to others, that it's so easy to run people down or pass judgment on people. I don't know anything about Anne Hathaway. She seems very talented at what she does. But let's celebrate Anne Hathaway for who she is. I'm not Anne Hathaway, so I'm not going to look like Anne Hathaway. And she's a movie star, okay? They look a certain way, and let's celebrate that. You know, if people want to look a certain way, let's celebrate that. I think that us passing judgment on other people in this stuff, especially on their looks, I'm getting a little bored with that. As I spoke with Val Monroe, who I'm going to speak with tonight, we discussed this idea that comparison is the thief of joy. So this week, less comparison, more celebrating. Celebrate ourselves and celebrate others. We're awesome, each of us, just the way we are. For all you new people who are joining us for the first time this week, hey, it's great to have you with us. We've been growing quite a bit recently. Love that. Please, if you can, leave us a comment and leave us a rating up to 5 stars. Woohoo! And if you can, maybe ask some of your friends if they know about us and they'd like to follow us, because we would love to have them join us too. Thanks for joining us on the show this week. If you have any thoughts about anything that Nancy and I talked about or this idea of celebrating others and celebrating ourselves, hey, just hit me up. I love to hear from all of you. Some of you are really interactive with us, and I really appreciate that. David@superage.com, or you can also hit me up, David@weareages.com. I answer all of my email directly and personally. Everyone, wishing you a wonderful week filled with wellness and celebration, and we'll see you next week. Take care now.